For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you. I have just got back from WrestleMania. I will tell you all the stories. I went to night 2 of WrestleMania. I have plenty of thoughts for those of you that watch wrestling. We will do that coming up in just a bit. But for those of you that don't watch wrestling, we are getting you ready for the NFL draft. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we are going to be joined by Matt Miller, who does fantastic work from ESPN. We also are going to be joined by Trent McDuffie coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We are very excited to get you ready for the NFL draft, round 1 that starts on Thursday later this week. All right, before we get into the open of the show today, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, is listen to The Drive every day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. And I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. You know what? I would very much appreciate it if you did that. So what I want to do is a little bit different than what we usually would. Rob, I need your help for today's open. So I am going through ESPN, getting ready for the show today, and they presented a scenario for the Chiefs to trade up. Now, we've heard some rumors, and Matt Miller is going to talk about that coming up in just a little bit, that the Chiefs have been a team that is believed to be interested in moving up in the NFL draft. I would imagine that a move up for the draft would consist of them taking an offensive lineman. You usually don't find starters in the back half of the first round. You're probably going to need to trade somewhere in the teens or early 20s if you want to take an offensive lineman. So I thought this was a very interesting trade idea floated out there for the Chiefs, and I want to run this by you because you are a lot different than me. You love draft picks, want to hoard draft picks. You want to take as many cost-controlled players as humanly possible. Now, I understand the logic on doing that, but I'm usually the draft picks are like prospects in baseball. Yes, you would love to see all of them make the majors, but sometimes the goal of that prospect is to go get you what you desperately need. Will Myers helped the Royals in 2014 and 2015, even if he never played for the Royals, because he was such a prospect that you could use it to go get something that you need. That is the idea. This is the trade proposal that was thrown out there for the Chiefs to move up to go get their offensive lineman, and I'm curious what you think. The Chiefs in this scenario would pick 22nd overall. You can decide what offensive lineman you would take at 22nd. I'm not too concerned with arguing who that could potentially be. In this trade idea, the Chiefs would then give up. They would give up their first-round pick, so that team would move back. They would give up their second third-round pick, not the Titans pick, but the 95th overall pick, and they also would give up a future fourth-round pick. So not in this year's draft class, but next year's draft class. So they would give up their first-round pick, their own third-round pick, and a fourth-round pick next year for the ability to move up around 8 spots in this year's NFL draft. Rob, is that something that you would be interested in? Because you are usually not someone that wants to trade picks. I would make this trade. If you feel like you can come up with a long-term solution at left or right tackle, I think it justifies the cost. I also think the Chiefs are in a very unique spot because they have not one but 2 third-round picks. If I'm the Chiefs, one of those third-round picks I am trying to convert into a player that I know is a starter. So maybe you use that for an established veteran player. We are probably out of that zone. Or you need to be considering using one of those 2 picks to move up in the draft and get what you desperately need. If you were telling me that you could turn Legarius Sneed's trade and you can now move that into a guy that can play left or right tackle for you for the next handful of seasons, and we'll see if he's a player that you want to sign to a long-term deal, I think that is a trade worth making. I will pull the trigger on this deal. In fact, I think that's one of the best case scenarios for the Chiefs. You move up in the draft, you still keep a third round pick. You'll figure out next year's pick selection when you get there, but I'm much more of a wheeler and dealer when it comes to the draft. Where are you at on this, Rob? Would you move up? Would you trade one of those third round picks to go get an offensive lineman?
Hard pass. And here's why. It is not the idea, because I think on the concept of what you're saying, we agree. Franchise left tackle, potential long-term solution at right tackle. That is the price you have to pay to go get that player. So the draft board, the compensation sheets, all the stuff you look at, I think that is the right number. Here's why I wouldn't make that deal. And we can talk to Matt Miller in about 10 minutes about it. We will have draft analysts on all week. Bank will be on the show. Mike Rinner from CBS. We had Trevor Sikkema from PFF. Do you know what all of these draft people are saying? It is not a great offensive tackle draft. There's the kid from Missouri, Mimbo. He's going to be gone in the top 10. There's just no way the Chiefs can wheel and deal to get him. After that, it is a group of flawed offensive tackle prospects. That doesn't mean one can't hit. That doesn't mean they're all going to fail. It's just a group of flawed players. Whether it be Joshua Simmons, who's battled injury, whether it be the fact that they're a lot of short-armed guys, so they project more as guards. Like, they are an imperfect group. There is no, oh, that guy's a day one, lock him in starter. So to give up that level of draft compensation for a guy that might work out at offensive tackle, but also might be Kingsley Suamataia, part two, a guy that, hey, it's not quite working at tackle, but he profiles out as a good guard, seems like too high a price to pay for a player in this draft. On the whole, I agree, but when you put it in the spectrum of 2025 draft, no thanks.
This is why I push back on your idea and people that share your thoughts. With where the Chiefs are usually going to select, now they're not going to the Super Bowl every year, but they're a team that is favored to win their division every year. They win a playoff game. They go to AFC championship games. We are talking about the Chiefs pretty routinely selecting in the bottom 6 every single year. Let's cast a decent size net here. I don't know if you're ever going to find the offensive lineman prospect that you were talking about. If you're selecting 27th overall, you are not getting the cream of the crop. Even if this season you did look at it like being one of those premier offensive line drafts, you would probably have to package one of your future first round picks in order to move up and go get that kind of guy. This is one of the negatives, and there are very few negatives with it. These are one of the negatives of being as good as the Chiefs are, that you're always going to get the second, third, fourth, fifth offensive lineman prospect that is there. Where I think the Chiefs are in a very unique situation this year is you know that you have a redshirt year available. Because you went out and spent the pick on Jalen Moore, because you have Juwan Taylor on essentially a 1-year deal, you are not pressed at offensive line. So if you take a guy like Joshua Simmons that tore his ACL this year that was unable to finish the season, you got a full year of rest, recovery, learning the system with essentially no pressure to go out and start from day one. That's not going to be the scenario that they're in next season. They are going to need to figure out something at right tackle at a minimum. So why not get a head out on it? So that's why I'm looking at this class right now. I also think that Joshua Simmons would be kind of one of those players that if he had stayed healthy last year, we're probably not having this conversation because he goes 13 and 14. He's the left tackle for Ohio State. But he has the injury. There's some injury questions. He moves down just a little bit. And this is where you can maybe get him for 80 cents, 85 cents on the dollar. I am very interested in the Chiefs trading one of their 2 third-round picks. I'm not interested in moving both of them. And if you would, and preferably, you would keep the Titans' third-round pick and then move your own third-round pick and handle it that way, because I agree with you. There maybe isn't that offensive line prospect that you would give up 66 for, but there is that one that you would give up the one a little bit later in the third round. I found this draft trade idea that was thrown out by ESPN to be pretty interesting. The Chiefs would move up to get one of those kind of second-tier offensive linemen. They would move up to get a Kelvin Banks. They would move up to get a Connerly Jr. out of Oregon. They'd move up to get a Joshua Simmons. They would give up their first-round pick, their own third-round pick, and they also would give up a future fourth-round pick to go do it. I'm with it. We'll talk to Matt Miller here coming up on the other side about how aggressive the Chiefs would potentially need to be to go get their offensive lineman if that's what you want. It does feel, as we get closer and closer to the draft that is coming up in, what, 3 days now, it does feel like this thing has been narrowed down. It feels like they are either going to go tackle, or it feels like they're going to go edge rusher, potentially D-tackle. They're going to go somewhere on the line of scrimmage. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk to Matt Miller about this and see how he feels about the line of scrimmage prospects as the Chiefs are heading into the draft. We are 3 days away from round one of the NFL draft. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips. Cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got the...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This. Welcome back into the show. Text line 913-586-7965. There was a proposed trade that was thrown out there on ESPN. The Chiefs would move up to go get an offensive lineman, Josh Connerly Jr. I'm not really concerned with the prospect as much. That's kind of Matt Miller's job. We're going to talk to him momentarily. In this scenario, the Chiefs would obviously trade their first round pick to move up to go get him. They would trade their third round pick, so it's near the back half of the third round, and a future fourth round pick. I am for it. I think the Chiefs need to find a long-term option at left and right tackle. And I do think a little bit that fans want this perfect prospect that the measurables test out and a perfect injury history. That player is just not available at 31 for Kansas City. You find your left tackle, really, I would say, three ways in the National Football League. You get lucky the way that Philadelphia did, and they spent the seventh round pick on a player that's turned into one of the five best left tackles in the league. You are bad, and you get the perfect left tackle at the right spot, or you spend a lot of money in free agency to go find it. So I want the Chiefs to be aggressive, move up in the draft, and go find one of those prospects, and I think they're in a really unique spot that they have essentially a redshirt year. Whoever they draft in the first round, if it is a tackle, will not start for this upcoming season. So draft them, let them learn the playbook, get them acclimated to the NFL game, and then you are ready to go in 2026. That's how I would handle the position. Let's talk to the expert, though. We're very happy right now to be joined by a friend of the show, Matt Miller. You can catch him on ESPN. He will be on the Saturday broadcast, rounds 4-7. You can also catch the simulcast on ESPN. Matt, how you doing, my man?
Not well, bud. It's been too long. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start with this. What do you make of this tackle class? And we can remove Mimbu. He's not going to be available for the Chiefs. And Will Campbell, those guys are not going to be available. But I'm looking at those kind of second-tier offensive linemen. I'm looking at a Connerly Jr. I'm looking at a Simmons out of Ohio State. I'm looking at a Kelvin Banks. What do you make of kind of that group of left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Will Campbell's going to be gone. Armon Membo's going to be gone. Kelvin Banks is going to be gone. I know, like, this is one of the most overthought players in this year's draft, and it's funny. We're a couple days away. Everybody's scrambling. Like, oh, you know what? He's going to go a lot earlier. He's going to go out earlier. I don't think he gets past Miami at 13. And so to your kind of your point in the intro there, like, yeah, you can want a left tackle all day. You can need a left tackle all day. These dudes don't just grow on trees. They go early in the draft. Look at the best left tackles in the NFL. Most of them were first-round picks. Very rarely do you find, you know, a guy who's outside of the first round and ends up being good. I mean, Jordan Mailata is the only one, and he was a seventh-round pick. Right? He's the only starting left tackle in the NFL that you would say is above average, and it's because he was an international pathway player. The rest of the NFL, left tackle, first-round picks. Most of them are early first round picks. Deion Dawkins, I would say, another exception, round two guy. But for the most part, you got to get him early. I don't see this as a year to where, unless you're willing to get into the top 15, where you could say, all right, we're getting a long-term left tackle. Otherwise, you're back to what they've done the past several years, which is drafting a project. They've done it in the second and third round. You're drafting a project and hoping they work out, which is exactly what they did last year with Kingsley.
That just feels like such a crapshoot to me, especially at that position, and you just gave the stats. I mean, the odds of you finding your starting left tackle in the third round and him developing just seem so low to me. And with where Kansas City usually selects, it's just never going to be that perfect time to find your left or your right tackle. So that's why I'm looking at this year when you got a little bit of a runway where you were not requiring them to start. This just feels like a good time to kind of take that dive.
I agree with you, especially because you have the extra pick from Legarius Sneed. You have that extra pick at 66. The scenario you floated out there, 31, 95, 133, like that's going to get you pretty high. That's a lot of draft capital. It really is. So if you're willing to give that up and say like, okay, like, you know, we're going to give up three picks because this is a team that's perennially in the Super Bowl. We're comfortable giving up those picks to go up high. I think that the question is, where can you actually get to? I've heard Dallas is maybe interested in sliding down from 12. For San Francisco is interested for sliding down at 11. But interestingly enough, those are two teams that could snipe your guy. San Francisco could take Kelvin Banks and be very happy with it. San Francisco brought in Josh Simmons for visits. Dallas has done a ton of work on offensive linemen in this class, especially guys that could potentially kick inside to guard like Membo, like Banks. So it is tough. And if you're in that, if you're in that group that says, hey, we got to go get a tackle, you what you really don't want to have happen is the Jets to take Armand Membo 7, because after that, it's going to get real expensive to come up to the board to get Kelvin Banks.
Can you see a scenario of where any of those guys fall in the draft? Like, is there a possibility that at 31, the Chiefs have a choice, that they could take Joshua Simmons, that they could take Connerly? Or do you think in order to grab that player, they're going to have to move up?
Connerly could be there at 31. And I would say, like, there's a line for me between the other guys and Connerly. He's good, and I think he's a fringe first-round player. So he could be there. And what's interesting about him is he might actually have the best, like, prototypical size and athletic ability for a left tackle. Just the production wasn't always there. You know, he is an ascending player. This dude was a running back in high school. He really only started for 2 years at Oregon. So he is somebody that's still learning. His in-season improvement this year was really, really good, but he is still climbing that ladder a little bit. So he could be there at 31. Josh Simmons is interesting, Carrington. Coming off a patella injury that happened middle of October, people hear knee injury, they think, oh, it's okay. A patella injury is much different than an ACL. It is a full-year injury. It's much more like an Achilles tendon. He is not going to be cleared until August at the earliest. So that is probably a player that you're redshirting. On tape, he is one of the best left tackles in this class. On tape, he might be the best left tackle in this class, but interviews have been very so-so with teams. He was a player who was at the Senior Bowl, not as an invitee, not as a participant. He was at the Senior Bowl on his own dime, meeting with teams, trying to get ahead of some of the, you know, quote-unquote character stuff that comes out about players. So he is a little bit of a gamble. I don't know that the Kansas City Chiefs, given, you know, some of the issues as of late with draft picks, are in position to take another first-round gamble on a character player. I personally wouldn't feel comfortable doing that if I was working for Brett Veach, but every team sees this differently.
Right now, we're joined by Matt Miller of ESPN. You can catch him on Saturday's broadcast, rounds 4 through 7. They're also doing a simulcast on ABC. Matt, it seems very likely to me that the Chiefs are going to go line of scrimmage with their first pick. We talked about the offensive side of it. Let's go to the defensive side. Tell me who you like from the DN perspective, a guy that can get after the quarterback, or if they want to go D-tackle and put somebody next to Chris Jones, who are some possible options at 31?
Yeah, it's a good defensive end class. I have 6 guys with a round 1 grade. I think the issue, again, for Kansas City is 5 of them are going to be gone by the time you come on the board. Abdul Carter's gone. Jalen Walker's long gone. Shamar Stewart, Mike Green, Mykael Williams. I think those guys are long, long gone. Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College could be there. He is not a Steve Spagnuolo guy because he's light. He does have good length. He has really good speed. But I think from a body type perspective, looking at him, the way that he needs to add the power to his game, 6'2.5", 248 pounds, even with 34-inch arm length, which Spags loves, 6'2.5", 250 is not getting it done for Steve Spagnuolo unless he's really changed his philosophy after watching Nolan Smith in the Super Bowl. So he's a player that could be there at 31. I don't think he's a great scheme fit. I look at the defensive tackle class and think this might be the spot. The Mason Graham from Michigan is going to be gone. I think Walter Nolan from Ole Miss is probably gone. He's the best pass-rushing defensive tackle in the class. If you could put him next to Chris Jones, that'd be amazing. He's probably gone. Derek Harmon from Oregon, a ton of upside. Kenneth Grant from Michigan, more of a one technique nose tackle type, but with a lot of athletic ability. Harmon and Grant are the two guys that could realistically be there at 31.
Where do you think the best potential value is? Because you've mentioned some of those offensive lineman candidates that could potentially be off the board. You also mentioned about pass rusher. People love this DN class. Veach likes this DN class. Those guys might not be there as well. Let's say the Chiefs are really thinking best player available. We're not going to pigeonhole ourselves for need. We're really going to go BPA, best player available. Who do you think that could be? What position group do you think it could come from?
Yeah, I mean, we could be looking at a wide receiver, depending on what happens early. It could be a player like Luther Burden from Missouri. It could be Emeka Abuka from Ohio State. I think you could realistically be looking at Maxwell Harrison, the corner from Kentucky, or Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia. So the thing about this class is it's so flat. Like, the player that you have ranked 12 and the player you have ranked 40 are kind of the same. And so that's where it gets tricky. If, you know, I rank guys 1 through 600, but what happened this year was player 11 and player, you know, 35 are kind of the same dude, really. So it is very flat in that regard, which makes, hey, best player available is very much open to interpretation. Like, I would love for Trey Amos, the corner from Ole Miss, to be there. You talk to some teams, they think he goes early 20s. You talk to others, they think he goes middle of the second round. So it's hard to find that consensus this year.
You have been one of the few people in the national media that have been carrying the flag for Luther Burden. I've watched a lot of Luther Burden even back when he was at East St. Louis. He is absolutely electric with the football. I do think that people are overthinking it a little bit. Maybe he's not the prospect that he was heading into his junior year, but now there's a chance he could not be a first-round pick. People are overthinking a very special player in my mind.
Happens every year, man. And you and I have known each other a long time. I really committed this season to not buying into the BS. You know, if I'm not going to get caught up in a 40 time that doesn't translate to tape, I'm not going to get caught up in a lack of production that's out of your control, and I'm not going to get caught up in production that wasn't generated in real football terms. So with Luther Burden, you know, the numbers slipped this year. The offense wasn't as good. The play calling wasn't as good. Brady Cook got hurt. The run game wasn't as good. It's a lot of reasons. Now, some of that on Luther, did he maybe throttle down and make some business decisions once he realized that he wasn't going to get those Heisman numbers? I think that's absolutely possible. Can he throttle back up when he's getting paid millions of dollars in the NFL? And yeah, I think that's an easy thing to do, is to get a guy to level back up, because you've seen him do it before. Some do it as a freshman, some do it as a sophomore. I've been around that program a ton. I've talked to his coaches, position and head. I don't get it. I think he and Kelvin Banks are the two guys in this class where it's just like we almost over-evaluate people, or we get fatigued because they've been good for so long. It happened to Nick Bosa. Like, it happened to Myles Garrett. It happened to Derek Stingley Jr. Like, people just get tired of talking about players, so we start to over-evaluate them. And Luther is absolutely the poster boy for that this year.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Miller here for a couple of more minutes. I have to get your thoughts on the player of this draft, Shedeur Sanders. To me, this whole draft kind of hinges on how he's evaluated by the league. Some people think he could go 9 to the Saints. Some think he could fall to the Steelers at 21. This could be a long day or a great day for Shedeur Sanders. How do you evaluate him as a prospect? What seems likely of a range for him to land?
Yeah, you know, I like Shedeur. I had him as my number 25 overall player. You know, there's some good things to his tape, his accuracy, his toughness, his ability to he rarely misses his guy. Like, when he makes a decision to throw the ball, it's going exactly where he wants it to go. I love that about his game. On the other side of it, he's a little bit small. He doesn't have a big arm. The scheme that he played in was a lot of, you know, it was almost like backyard style. It wasn't a lot of really developed routes and combos. His day, he could go 33, he could go 30 or 3. Like, he could go from the New York Giants at 3, and he might go in the second round. So he is a fascinating player in this draft, just because that range is massive. And I think a lot of that's going to come down to interviews and how well he handled those one-on-one situations with teams, to where, do you feel convicted about him? Are you comfortable handing over, like we have to be with every quarterback, are you comfortable handing your franchise over to this young man and saying, all right, for the next 3 to 4 years, you know, we're going to go as far as you can take us. Chiefs fans know this better than anybody. When you get that pick right, it's a glorious thing. And when you don't, a lot of people get fired and you have to start over.
When you watch Shadur, who does he look like to you? Who does he remind you of? Let's say best case scenario. Let's say the things work out and he hits his absolute ceiling as a prospect. Yeah. Who do you think he could be?
Jared Goff, Geno Smith. That's who I see. Like, best case scenario, guys that can beat you from the pocket without a ton of pocket movement, but are just really, really accurate and they can play on time. Like, realistically, it might be closer to Teddy Bridgewater, who I was a fan of. I liked Teddy. You know, he had some injuries in the league that held him back a little bit. He had a couple good years. And so much of this with Shadur, it does depend on what he has around him. You know, the New York Giants have a decent offensive line. They have Malik Nabers. Like, they've got some pieces there. You know, if you go to a team that has some pieces in place, it's much better than, you know, if you go to the New Orleans Saints, where Chris Olave is your best receiver. He missed half the year. Shaheed, their other good receiver, missed half the year. They don't have a tight end. Their running back's getting older. So I think scheme and fit are going to matter a ton for him.
Let's talk about the running back here for just a little bit. I absolutely love this running back class. There's about 12 to 15 names that if you're a college football fan, you've heard of before. Obviously, you got Jensen and Hampton at the top, but you got Cam Scataboo. You got Dylan Sampson. Again, you got just so many guys that you've heard of if you're a college football fan. I'm looking at the Chiefs somewhere in that third to fourth round range. I think they can find themselves a really quality starter that instantly improves their room and probably becomes their opening day starter.
Yeah, I'm with you. Please add some speed, Brett Beach. Please add some speed. That is what this team needs. It's what this team has lacked. As much as I'm a fan of Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, it's obvious that the offense missed having some juice back there. So, you know, to your point, I don't think you have to take one at 31 because I do think you can get a Dylan Sampson in the third round. You could get R.J. Harvey or Jordan James or D.J. Giddens, Damian Martinez. Like, there are good players that are going to be available late in this draft. I even think Jaden Blue for Texas, who is a great receiver out of the backfield. He has a ton of speed. He's going to be there in round four, round five, and be a really, really good player. So this is a draft where there's a lot of speed guys at the tailback position, and I would hope that one of them will be a Kansas City Chief in a couple days.
I feel that same way about wide receiver. I'm just really big on, I think what's happened over the last couple of years is Mahomes is still the same, but the parts around him have desperately changed. And sometimes I think people think that explosive plays come from play design. No, they come from having explosive weapons around you. And last year you alluded to it with the running back room, and they obviously had injuries when it came to wide receiver. I mean, I would love for them to take Burden if he fell, or Emeka Egbuka if he fell in the draft. I would love for them to go that way at 31, but I'm thinking just based on how they usually draft that they're probably going somewhere on the line of scrimmage.
I'm with you. I would love for it to be Luther Burden. I'd be happy with a tight end, you know, like a Mason Taylor at that spot. I'd be happy with a speedy edge rusher. But when we get back to how this team normally drafts, I'm with you. It's probably going to be a defensive lineman, probably going to be a defensive tackle, unless one of those offensive tackles falls. But, you know, I don't know, man. Last time they lost the Super Bowl, they got aggressive and a lot changed in a hurry. And we didn't see that through free agency. So maybe we see it in the draft, you know, with four picks in the top 95. Maybe we see some aggressive movement. I had heard 2 weeks ago that they were at least interested in moving up. You know, the last time they were interested in moving up was the Rashee Rice draft when no one would trade with them when they wanted to move up. So we will see what happens.
Last thing here, call your shot just a bit. There is always that one thing that just has everybody stunned. We saw Cleveland Farrell go top five when no one had him projected that high. Michael Penix last year goes 8 overall. There's always that one thing that dominates the headlines of the draft. What could you see that being? Because you mentioned it earlier. I mean, if we saw Shadur go off the board in the top five, that is it. I know he's a quarterback prospect, but you've mentioned there's such a wide range of what it could be. What do you think that just jaw-dropping moment could be on Thursday?
Well, folks, to find it from last year, I wrote an article 2 days before the draft and said, I'm hearing Michael Penix to Atlanta, but that's crazy. It won't happen, right? And then it happened. And so it was one of those moments where, like, I chickened out. I should have just ran with it instead of hedging. My one for this year, Ashton Jeanty goes 5 to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That is Matt Miller joining us on the show. You can catch him on ESPN. You can also catch him on Saturday's broadcast, rounds 4 through 7. It will be simulcast on ABC. Matt, man, seeing your rise in the media has been really cool, man. I'm happy for you, man. I know you've put the work in. Really excited to see your stuff over the weekend, man. Thanks a lot for popping on today.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Carrington. Thanks again.
Absolutely. That's Matt Miller joining us on the show today. Really happy to get a chance to catch up with him. All of our draft segments here on 96.5 The Fan are brought to you by Powell Exteriors, J&M Displays, and also the Salvation Army. So shout out to the sponsors that are sponsoring all of our draft content. Be sure to come out to the Landing on Liberty on Thursday as we are going to hang out and watch round one of the NFL draft. Ashton Jeanty, number 5 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Rob, if that happens, I think you might leave the Landing in Liberty. Like, I know we're supposed to be there through the entire first round. I'm going to be there from start to finish. Something tells me if a running back goes number 5 overall, you would just be home, and you'll probably be home by pick 11 if that happens. I could see Jeanty going really high. I think Jeanty makes a lot of sense either in Las Vegas. I think they're at 7 off the top of my head, and also number 10 to the Bears. I don't see a scenario in which he falls past the Bears. I think the Bears run to the podium to take him. They have been so in on trying Caleb everything he needs. You got him Ben Johnson. You took the wide receiver last year. I think they take maybe the best skill position player on the board if he's there at number 10. I think that's the worst position we could see him. Obviously, Matt Miller thinks he could go 5 to Jacksonville.
I'll tell you this. It would not stun me if he goes 5, not because of any of the things you said, because a poor-run organization like the Jags that has nothing but flaws all over that roster, wasting a top-5 pick on running back, I wouldn't leave. I would walk around to every table at the Landing in Liberty and be like, hey, did you see how stupid the Jacksonville Jaguars are? Let's chit-chat about it. Top 5 for a running back in this economy? What are we doing?
Let me ask you this. How good does he have to be to justify top 5? Let's say that he turns out to be Christian McCaffrey, for example.
Probably not.
Okay.
I also don't know that he can be Christian McCaffrey.
No, I was just throwing that out there.
Liam Cohen as his head coach, who says Duval all weird, and Trevor Lawrence as his run as his quarterback. I don't think that's happening.
One thing I picked up from Matt Miller, and this is to be expected because of where the Chiefs select, you are not getting a premium edge rusher prospect at 31. You are also not getting a premium offensive line tackle at 31. If you likely want to find either of those, you are probably going to have to move up. I think Veach said this a couple of days ago. Tell me if I'm wrong. That they have like 12 to 14 players pegged as first round grades. Well, if that's the case, then they're not there at 31. So you either can move back in that scenario, which sometimes can be a challenge. You probably are going to have to hope that a quarterback is on the board, and then you move back in that scenario. Or you're maybe going to have to take a player that's kind of in your range. I mean, I think that's what happened with Felix Onyedike Uzomah a couple of years ago. They had a range of about the players that they wanted to take. At that point, moving back, you potentially run the risk of not getting a player that's in your range. They took one of them in Felix, and that was their first round selection. I could see it being a very similar feel for this one, whether it's you go offensive line, maybe you go D-line, or I think to his point, if there is a running back that is falling and you can get Egbuka or Burden at 31, I do think they're in a very, very interesting spot if they can go in a couple of different directions, whether it's on a skill position player like the two I just mentioned, or they're going to end up taking somebody on the line of scrimmage.
Maybe this is us saying the same thing, just differently. I think if the Chiefs, if it gets to 31 and the Chiefs are on the clock, I think they're trading back because they're going to look for the trench. So they're going to look like they're going to look for a skill position guy at 36, 37, 38, 39. I think if you get to whatever time it will be in Liberty and we're sitting around, the Chiefs are on the clock at 31 and all the guys in the trenches are gone, I think the Chiefs are moving out of that pick. Where I think if the Chiefs are going to do what Matt Miller thinks they're going to do and maybe target one of those premium edge rushers, maybe get one of those quality interior defensive linemen like a Derek Harmon, maybe they jump up for their left tackle, whether it be Joshua Simmons, Josh Connerly, whoever. I think if you see the little draft noise, bum, 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 when that noise bings on Thursday night, it's because the Chiefs are moving up to add a player in the trenches. I don't think they want to add a skill position in round one. They just haven't operated that way all offseason.
All right, coming up on the other side, we'll get to our NBA minute. We saw 8 playoff games yesterday, and the general manager for the Dallas Mavericks just continues to talk about the Luka trade. And at this point, I would just stop. Because every time you talk, you usually make it worse than you did before. We got Vern coming up in 20 minutes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Okay, so I'm going to let you in on a little secret.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
All right, coming up in just a bit, we're going to be joined by Josh Vernier. We're also going to get back to the NFL draft coming up in a bit. I went to WrestleMania this weekend. I'll tell you guys about how it went. I know some of you are wrestling fans, and you know what? It was not that bad. I would not consider myself to be a wrestling fan. In fact, I didn't know who a lot of the characters were yesterday, but I did have a good time. I'll tell you guys about that coming up in a bit. But you guys know I am passionate about the NBA. And we usually don't talk a lot of NBA, mostly because I don't think you guys want us to talk a lot of NBA, but it's the playoffs. So we're locked in for the next 2 months of the NBA playoffs. We had 8 postseason games this weekend, but the top story in the league still continues to be, even in the middle of the playoffs, even months later, is still the Dallas Mavericks traded Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers. It still doesn't make any sense. And every time that the general manager talks about it and tries to explain it, it is worse than the previous time. Listen to what the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks had to say when, you know how it is, your season's over, you do a press conference at the end of the year. We're not interested in talking about anybody else. We want to talk about one of the, maybe the biggest trade in the history of the NBA. Listen to what their general manager said. This is unbelievable. He said this.
I didn't know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level. But really, the way we looked at it is, you know, if you're putting a team on the floor that's Kyrie, Clay, PJ, Anthony Davis, and Lively, we feel that's a championship caliber team, and we would have been winning at a high level. And that would have quieted some of the outrage. And so, unfortunately, we weren't able to do that. So it just continued to, you know, go on and on.
I don't know Nico Harrison's bosses. If I was his boss, I would just say, we're not talking about this anymore. No comment. No comment. Next question. Every time it comes up, you didn't understand how your fan base felt about their best player. It's a player league. And he's one of the five best players. And you traded him in the middle of the night. And you only talked to one team. You didn't think that this was going to go really poorly for you? This doesn't seem very well thought out. Every time he has spoken on this, it has been worse than the time before. So just stop. We're not talking about this anymore. We want to talk about the players that are on this team, that are on this roster. We are moving forward as an organization. Luka is not a part of our future anymore or our present. He is the past. We're done talking about this. That's how I would handle it. But they have made things so untenable in Dallas. I don't know how Nico Harrison, I don't know how you can trust him to run your draft coming up. I just don't know how you can do it. Maybe he's taking arrows for the ownership group, and that happens sometimes. I don't know how you trust that person. I don't know how you trust him to run the draft for you. He has messed things up so bad, I don't know if you can allow him the opportunity to undo the mess. It is bad down there in Dallas. All right, we're done talking about teams that didn't make the NBA playoffs. Rob, hit the music. Give me 1 minute to talk about a team that did make the postseason. Hit me, Rob. Are the Lakers in trouble? I would say of all the things to overreact to the first games of the NBA playoffs, I would say it's that. The Rockets and Warriors series went how a lot of people predicted. The veteran experienced team strangled the inexperienced team and put the clamps on them defensively. The Lakers didn't come out with anywhere close to the energy to win a game. And they got dominated and blown out. And what I do like about this Minnesota Timberwolves, and I think it's a lot because of Anthony Edwards, they don't seem afraid of the Lakers or afraid of the moment. You would never think that you would put yourself in a must-win game. But if you are the Lakers, game two is now a must-win game for you. It is your season. You do not advance if you don't figure out a way to win coming up tomorrow night against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Rob, I think that's the story of the first 2 days of the NBA playoffs. It's the Lakers losing home court and losing game one to the Timberwolves.
I mean, I like the NBA. I don't like the NBA. NBA the way you like the NBA. I like to kind of lock in that second round, that third round, because I think that's when the games really tick up and excitement and it gets like crazy. The Timberwolves and Lakers was the only intrigue so far we've had in round one. The Thunder super took care of business. The Cavs took care of business in their, you know, game ones. We expected that. Nuggets and Clippers was a really fun game because of the comeback.
Yeah, it was definitely more than that. I thought the Knicks and Pistons was a good game.
I think it was a great quarter that was fun to watch the Knicks run away. But overall, look at the final score of that game. If you just like keeping an eye on, oh, let's see if the Pistons can steal home court.
It didn't look
like they could.
No,
like,
they did not.
It looked like the Knicks found another gear and the Pistons were just watching them play basketball for a little bit, which is sometimes what happens in the first round of the playoffs. The superior team finds their level, keeps home court, dominates in five, and then we really crank up in the second round.
Yeah, I thought in the Pistons and Knicks game, it became very obvious what team has played in the postseason before and what team hasn't. Like in these NBA playoff games, your ability to close matters. And the Pistons were up 12. They're on the road. You know, that Madison Square Garden crowd, they get rocking. And the Knicks just went out there and just pop, pop, pop. They had a 21-0 run in the NBA. That just does not happen. The Knicks, a very impressive game one win. I think the Lakers and the Timberwolves has been the most intriguing game. We'll see how the rest of it shakes out. Let's get back to local. We'll get back to the Royals coming up at the top of the hour. Josh Verner is going to join us today. So we've moved him around. He's not going to be on the show Friday because of the draft. We'll have him today as the Royals have an off day. So we'll get you ready for their series against the Colorado Rockies. So I asked Rob to do this. I asked Rob to go back into the vault. And I asked him to get the reaction of various draft picks that the Chiefs have made. What did the pundits say at the time when they made the selection? So let's start with number one. Rob, you know what? Let's start with running back because we all know that's your favorite position. This was the draft reaction when the Chiefs selected Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
With the 32nd pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs select Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back LSU.
Sometimes you just have a hunch. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a fascinating running back for them this past season. How about this? Despite only 14 grabs his first 2 years for the Tigers, he had a school record 55 catches for 453 yards. And clearly Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a car guy because he said, if you're a car guy, I'm like a Pirelli P0 tire fresh off the market. That's my thing. My lifespan is pretty long right now. Only 370 carries in his three-year career. Boog, we talked about it. What a fit for the offense Andy Reid and company like to run.
Well, it's definitely a scheme fit. You think about Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year in the LSU offense. It's going to be a very similar offense with Patrick Mahomes. He can cut inside and outside as far as hiding behind those big offensive linemen. He's only 5'8", but if you look at his change of direction, the ability to get in and out of his cuts, and then the area where I think he's going to be big and pay huge dividends for the Kansas City Chiefs, catching the football out of the backfield, tough runner, but he's a three-down player, and this is what you have to have in today's NFL, not just a runner inside or outside, but you better have somebody that can catch the football. Now, he needs to work on his pass protection, which I'm sure Andy Reid and Brad Veach knows, but they got a really, really good football player in Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I'll say this. I'm sure you guys have an example of a player, and I'm missing it, and that's fine. I still don't really understand how Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't work. Like, thinking of the prospect that he was leaving LSU, the offense that he joined, who was around him, and especially the start that he got off to. I mean, rookie year, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a pretty decent player. Now, some of it is just injuries. He just was never a fully healthy player. He wasn't as nearly as helpful out of the backfield as I thought he was going to be, and he didn't have that kind of home run swing and ability to kind of change the game in that capacity that I thought he was going to have. But I know that some of you have that you don't take a running back in round one under any circumstance. I don't think the drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round was a wrong thing to do. You look at the team that he was on, the pedigree, like everything seemed to line up, and you had made a really, really smart pick in the offense. And for whatever reason, it just never came together, and he just never came anywhere close to the promise. It's funny because I would say he is one of the few Chiefs draft picks that I can remember that really peaked in game one. Remember that move that he made against the Houston Texans? You're thinking, oh boy, how did the league let the Chiefs get this player? It just never really got much better than that. I would say that the best game that he had, at least off the top of my head, was that game he had on the road against the Buffalo Bills. I felt like they won a game because of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and how effectively they run the ball. But just thinking back to that draft pick, it just never really came together for him in Kansas City. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. The Royals won yesterday. We'll talk to him about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.